A half-baked loaf. Clover sat in the yard outside Scarling's Hall and watched the nervous folk called in to receive their deservings. He watched some strut out beaming over their rewards. He watched some dragged out crestfallen over their punishments. He saw a couple noticeably not emerge at all. Life and death hanging on the word of Black Ricka. She held more of the North and in a tighter grip now than Black Dow at his most feared, than Black Calder at his most cunning. Who'd have guessed that when she came tumbling through the wet woods to lie at his feet all those months ago? He gave a disbelieving little snort of laughter. Would have taken the long eye to see it coming. Clover had seen him rise and fall, the leaders, the chiefs, the kings. He'd taken a hand in a few of those ups and downs himself, indeed. Bethod and the Bloody Nine, and Black Dow and Scale Iron Hand, and Stour Nightfall, an ever-lengthening list of glory and disaster. Those who served him, too, the fortunes of the little men rising and falling with the big men they chose to follow, like boats lifted by the tide or dropped stranded on the sands. He glanced over at Scholler and Flick, hoped they wouldn't end up stranded on account of tethering their fortunes to his. Maybe, having spent half his life too reckless, he'd ended up playing it too safe. He'd clung to those who'd risen and could only come down, rather than had the courage to seek out those whose tide was surging in. To seek out those he actually liked, maybe. But he was still casting a shadow, at least. More than you could say for Wonderful, or Magweir, or Downside, or all those others he'd put in the mud down the years. Still alive, as the Bloody Nine was once so fond of saying. There wasn't much else to take pride in, for a man who carried a sword, even one who tried never to draw it. Clover! Shivers stood there in the doorway of Scarling's Hall. You never could tell what the man was thinking. No more feeling showed in his living eye than his dead one. No sign of what the judgment would be. But from those coming and going, Black Ricka was proving a tougher judge than folk had guessed. Girl had iron in her, that was plain, and sharpened too.
"Can I bring my people?"
asked Clover. Shivers looked at Flick and Scholler.
"Why not?"
And he stood aside to offer them all the way. So he'd be at their backs, of course. A bad man to have behind you with a sword, call Shivers. Just ask Black Dow. But if Clover wasn't used to having bad men with swords about, he never would be. Ricka sat in Scarling's chair, an old sheepskin draped over the back and onto the seat. Red cloak around her shoulders and green stones around her neck, the tattoos black on her pale face. She looked comfortable in that uncomfortable-looking chair, one leg crossed over the other with the worn boot gently swinging. There were some big names in the room, but everyone faced a bit towards her, like flowers turning their petals towards the sun. No doubt who had the say in that room.
"Jonas Clover," she said, tapping a thoughtful fingernail against the arm of Scarling's chair as he traipsed up nervously to stand before her. "Here's a riddle." "Well," he gave an apologetic little grin, "no one wants to be thought of as simple. There are folk who've done me favours and folk who've done me wrongs."
She sat forwards, those troubling eyes full upon him as if she could see into his head, see into his heart. "But there's none I can think of that are such a half-baked loaf as you." Clover scratched at the back of his head.
"I'll admit I've been called worse and deserved it."
"You were one of Calder's men, one of Nightfall's, one of those that invaded the Protectorate all those months ago."
"I mostly ambled along at the back, to be fair."
He squinted up towards the shadowy rafters, a cobweb fluttering in the breeze through the windows.
"In that war, if I recall, I killed more men on my side than on yours."
"That's naught to be proud of," grunted Hardbread.
"No, Clover gave a sorry shrug. You'll find few men less proud of themselves than me. And once I had Scarlin's chair, said Ricca, you gave every sign of going back over to Calder's side soon as the chance was offered. When you let Stour live, then tossed all your friends away, I started worrying you might not have the bones for the task. In my defence, you did act the part of someone shitting themselves very nicely.
Plenty of practice, grunted Ricca. And after all, I could only spare Stour because you handed him to me in the first place.
That was less a service to you, though, and more about settling a score between me and him.
Ricca looked at him, baffled.
When I count something against you, you want to disagree. When I count something for you, you want to disagree with that too.
In my experience, things are rarely all one way or the other.
You're right there, said Ricca, sitting back. And you did let me go that day in the woods.
That's one good deed I'll fully confess to, admitted Clover.
A man who does good, you can predict. A man who does bad, the same. But what do you do with a man who can't make up his mind?
I've often wondered.
I like you, but I can't have you around. Shivers.
Clover shut his eyes then, expecting the sword in the back of his head, like Black Dow, like Black Calder. But when he gathered the courage to squint around, he saw Shivers was offering him a bag. He took it and looked inside. The gleam of silver, and a decent amount by all appearances.
That's more than generous, he said. If I was you, I wouldn't have me around either. Hell, I'm me, and I often tire of my company.
He put his hand on Scholar's shoulder and drew her forwards.
But if you'll entertain me with a brief hearing, I'd like to recommend this article. Her name's Sholla, and I've never yet had cause to doubt her loyalty. A fine hand with an arrow, the softest footstep I never heard, and an undisputed master at the noble art of cheese shaving. She can get 'em like a sheet of paper. I swear you can see through the bastards.
Ricca raised the brow over her blind eye at Scholla.
If I've one regret, it's that my cheese never quite calves thin enough. And then there's this, which is called Flick. I have yet to discover any talent, but I've no doubt there's one lurking beneath the unpromising exterior, and even if there ain't, he has a pleasant manner, which is too rare a thing in the North. I think he'll agree.
Ricca glanced about her closest, Cole Shivers, Isern Ifail. She puffed out her cheeks.
Well, I won't disagree. Good, good.
Clover gave Flick's shoulder a parting squeeze, then let his hand fall. He gave the room a smile.
Watch yourself, in Adua. I hear folk down there can't all be trusted the way they can up here.
Ricca gave a snort.
Fine advice. And if anyone should want to learn sword work, I am available.
And with a gesture caught on awkward ground between a nod and a bow, Clover took his leave.
Don't we get a say?
Muttered Scholler, following him out with Flick. The sun was getting low now, and the yard was half in bright light, half in deep shadow. Rarely all one way or the other, like he'd told Ricca.
I'm sparing you the pain of it, said Clover. You're both better off here, and I know it, and you know it, and once you thought about it, you'd see you had to tell me so, and it'd be an awkward scene all around. Afford me the dignity of this one last call as chief on your behalf.
He gathered him in an awkward hug, mostly so he didn't have to listen to him argue with him.
Thanks for your support through hard times, and thanks especially for that arrow in Downside's shoulder.
Aye, well,
said Scholla, and Clover flattered himself that she might be struggling to hold back a tear or two.
Didn't want to give the bastard the satisfaction of killing you. You're joking. I had that bloody half-head just where I wanted him. Waiting for my moment was all.
What'll you do?
Asked Flick, who wasn't trying to stop himself crying at all and had dirty tear tracks all over his cheeks. Clover grinned.
Something usually comes up. and he turned and started walking, sword over his shoulder.